Acts chapter number 8, and we're going to read responsively this morning, beginning in verse 26, and we'll go down through the end of the chapter. Acts 8, 26, and all the way down to the end of the chapter, which is verse 40. I'll read verse 26, and then you can join with me on every other verse aloud. Acts 8, 26. Ready? "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. We'll read verse 40 together. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Heavenly Father, thank you for this confrontation, this meeting in the desert with Philip and the eunuch. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. I'd like to speak to you this morning on this theme, fishing in the desert. Fishing in the desert. I would say the last place that you and I would grab our fishing poles and grab our nets and grab our tackle box. I almost forgot what those were called. I had a tackle box years ago. Didn't really go fishing a whole lot. I'm talking about a long time ago. And we wouldn't be getting our fishing license and getting all of that thing, all those things together and making our way to the hottest desert in the face of the earth. For one, you're not going to find a whole lot of water in a desert, let alone fish in the water. Now, I understand that there are desert places, I'm sure, that you'll find that have water and that have fish. But for the most part, that's not the most opportune place to set your sights if you're planning on catching that big fish, that big trout, that big whatever fish that you're looking for. Most people don't go to the desert for fishing. Well, when it comes to preaching the Word of God, most people would say, like we were just learning about a church on a reserve, and I'm not saying the reserve is a desert, but it's kind of an out of way place. I've heard of that church before in the past, and I'm trying to bring up the pastor that I remember that was there, and I've got a bit of a name, but I'm not even going to try it. But I've never met Brother Crumball that I know of. And there are places all over Canada, not desert necessarily, but there are places all over Canada, as Pastor Nathan just said, where there are people that need to be reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think his statement goes very well with what happened here in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now, we're living in a city right now, if you want to just say the Vancouver area, that has over 2 million people in it. I don't know how many people lived in Samaria, but Samaria was a more heavily populated place than where Philip would meet the eunuch. And the last place you or I would have told Philip to go would have been to leave Samaria, travel south along this desert road, along this dry road. The last place we would have sent Philip in the midst of a citywide revival would have been where God sent him. But you know, God doesn't work like you and I work, and he doesn't think like we think, and Samaria was the capital city of the area. I mean, you would think that God would keep him in Samaria. That's where a lot of the people were. That's where more people were. But you see, when God moves and when God does something, it isn't always just for the moment. See, God saw people in Ethiopia. God saw the gospel going into Africa. God saw the gospel going into other regions of the world through this one man that Philip would meet on this desert road. I want to, as we get into this though, I want to ask you some questions. How many times have the plans of God been confusing to you? God's plan. By the way, God's plan will always happen. Mark it down. God's plan is always going, whatever God's plan is for 2020, whatever it was, this was it. This was the plan of God. Long before you were born, long before I was born, God's plan. But I'll admit to you, God's plan is at many times confusing. Question two, how many times have the plans of God been challenging to you? Challenging. I must say that the plans of God in 2020, challenging, challenging, challenging. But it's the plan of God. And the sovereign will of God, we'll talk about this in a minute, is always where we want to be. We don't want to be outside of it, but it's definitely challenging. And then thirdly, how many times have the plans of God tested your faith? I had someone this week tell me my faith has been tested recently. That was about the words that were given. How many times has the will of God, the plan of God, the way of God, how many times has it tested your faith to the point where your faith was weakened? This is a time in Philip's life where it was definitely confusing. Now, we don't read that Philip was confused by it, but it would have had to have been in a very slightest of sense. What is God doing? We don't have everything that happens in every story. And I don't think it's inappropriate to interject in there the human side of this that, you know, it had to be confusing. Samaria, desert. It had to be challenging. Samaria, walk to the desert. And maybe it was a test, too. Now we see, we've read the story, we know what happens, but I want you to be encouraged by this, that even though it's confusing, and even though it's challenging, and even though it can be testing, the plan that God has for you isn't just about the moment. It's about beyond that, where you and I cannot see. I can't even see beyond today, but God sees way beyond today, all the way out there, that God is bringing 2020 into your life and my life, not just for 2020, but he's bringing it into our life for something even greater. And he's bringing that physical challenge into your life right now, not just for right now, and not because he doesn't love you, but because he has something for you to do down the road, that because you're in this physical challenge, you're going to be ready for the whatever it is down the road, and I have no idea what it is. Philip could not see beyond the eunuch like you and I can today. You follow church history. We can see how this whole thing went. He witnesses to the eunuch, whatever. We're going to look through it here. But I'm just trying to say that don't allow the devil to rob you of what God is doing in your life right now. Even when God takes you from what you think is the way that it should be to something that is so small and insignificant, that this is what God has for us right now as a church. And this is what God wants for us. There's a purpose beyond now for what God is doing in our lives. There always will be. And you, if you lived long enough in the Lord, you would be honest with me and with anyone else. You would say there's been things in your life that you have been able to see. Oh, that's why. It's happened to me. You don't have to live very long. I'm not saying it'll all be revealed in heaven. It will be. But many of it, we don't even have to wait till heaven. Many of it will come in and it'll come into our life and it'll just smack us in the face. And then we'll think, oh, that's why 10 years ago that happened. Yeah, you can't remember what you had for breakfast last week on a certain day, but when something happens, it takes you all the way back to, okay, now I see what God was doing. It was confusing, it was challenging, it tested my faith, but God was working then for now. That's exactly what happened in Acts chapter number 8. He wasn't just working for the Ethiopian eunuch, although he was, but he was working well beyond that. So let's look at several things in these verses. We're just going to make our way through this text today. Number one, we see a sovereign God. A sovereign God. Verse number 26, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south. Arise and go. Arise and go." The angel of the Lord. This is a messenger sent from God, from a sovereign God who can see down the road. He can see in Gaza. He can see in the desert. He can see the Ethiopian who's been in Jerusalem. He can see that his heart is tender. He can see that he's got the Bible and he's going to be reading it. God can see all of this. He is sovereign. And he sends his angel to Philip and he says, okay, it's time to leave. It's time to leave Samaria. Arise and go. This is a miraculous meeting in the middle of nowhere. Think of it now. A miraculous meeting in the middle of nowhere. And yet I believe that we have more meetings just like this that can take place in your life and in my life if we'll once again be encouraged that our God is sovereign. Our God is concerned about the one. Our God is concerned about the thousand, the 10,000, the million, but he's concerned about the one. And today he is sovereign. He is moving. He is the chess master, if you will. He is moving pieces in place. And there will be, out of nowhere, there will be a miraculous meeting. We call them divine appointments. They're still happening. It's not just for Philip. It's not just for the Ethiopian eunuch. But the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God in verse number, the angel of God. Today we have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling in us. And the Holy Spirit of God is trying to take you and me every day on the right path. He's trying to take us from home to work to here to there. And we have it all set out. And the Holy Spirit of God might just say, you need to go over here. You need to go over here. This is why we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. This is why we can't be filling our minds with rock and roll music. We can't be filling our minds with rap music. We can't be filling our minds with this CCM music, because all that cloud stuff's going to cloud our minds. We can't be constantly watching Hollywood movies. Probably not many Hollywood movies at all we ought to be watching. We can't be doing all of that. Why? Because it's going to dull our sensitivity to the things of God. And that miraculous meeting that God has for you on every day, you'll miss it, and I'll miss it, because we can't hear the Holy Spirit of God, because he doesn't smack us over the head sometimes. It's the still small voice that says, Ben, I need you to go over here. Oh, I don't hear him say that, but I'm telling you, anytime I've said it since day one, anytime you've been led to do something that brings somebody to Christ or plants the gospel, the devil didn't tell you to do it. God did. It's a miraculous meeting in the middle of nowhere. And I said to someone last Saturday, you didn't get up this morning and I didn't get up this morning and you thought there would be someone standing on your porch, and I'm still praying for that gentleman to get saved. I may never see him again. That may be the only time I ever see him. I'm telling you, God has divine appointments for you because he's sovereign. And we learned earlier that he's loving and he wants people to be saved. This is a miraculous meeting. God knew exactly what road the eunuch would be taking from Ethiopia when he left Jerusalem. God knew all of this. It is most definitely what we call today a divine appointment. And I want to ask you something. How many have you missed? How many have I missed? Let us not focus on that, but let us use that as fuel to say, I don't want to miss what God has on the sixth day of December in 2020. What does God have for me today? He has something for you. He doesn't just have something for me one day a week and that's it. No, every day with Jesus can be sweeter than the day before. This is a sovereign God we see in this text. And by the way, He's still God today. And He's still sovereign. And He's still moving and shifting and putting you in places that are challenging, yes. Confusing, yes. Test your faith, yes. But in the end, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Number one, we see a sovereign God. Number two, we see a surrendered servant. A surrendered servant. Oh, I tell you, it was funny. I was talking to Caleb one night this week, and he had his Bible with him. He had one of those Anchor Bibles that has all kinds of room to make notes on. We gave those away for years to different individuals. And anyway, he was telling me about a message I preached from this very text 10 years ago. And he said, yeah, you preach from Acts 8, 26 to 40 and blah, blah. I said, oh, wow, I'm going to preach from that text again on Sunday. You know what? We preached on this text earlier this year, actually. I don't know if you remember. I vaguely remember, but I know we did. I think it was around VBS time or something like that, maybe. But anyway, or maybe that was 2 years ago. I don't know. It's all kind of blurring together. The point is, I love this passage of Scripture. It just invigorates me, it challenges me, and it convicts me every time I read it. The Bible says in verse 27, and he, Philip, arose and went. Now you might say, Pastor, I've read this hundreds of times. Okay, how many times have you not arisen and went when God said to go? How many times have I known that God wanted me to do something and I stayed where I was and I didn't move and I didn't advance and I didn't get busy for God? Here we see a surrendered servant. It is evident in this statement that Philip was surrendered to the will of God. He was sensitive to what God wanted him to do. And not only that, where God wanted him to go. Where is it that God is calling you to go? Yes, there are places all over Canada that need churches to be established. Maybe that need pastors that are already established. And yes, there are countries in this world that have very little gospel witness. And we at Anchor Baptist Church, we're ready for the next family that can come out of Anchor Baptist Church and go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. What about you? Is God calling you? Would you be a surrendered servant? That's what Philip was. He surrendered to what God. Imagine the journey from Samaria to the desert. I've thought about this over and over again. How about you? Imagine the journey. What was going through Philip's mind as he made his way from the revival to the middle of nowhere? What would have he been thinking about? And I don't know that he thought this, but I would think this. What could be more foolish than to leave a prospering ministry and go to the desert? Well, the only reason it's prosperous is because God told him to. And it doesn't matter what you're leaving. You're not leaving anything. You're just following the next step in the will of God for your life. He obeyed the leading of the Lord. Can I just say this? This is revival. This is revival. Right there. It's so simple. It's so simple. We make revival this big thing that we can never have. Yes, we can all have revival. When God says something, we obey. When God wants us to do something, we arise and we go. That's revival. Obedience from a heart of love to a holy God. Being sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God and then moving and then following that moving. I love what it says about Philip in verse 30. In verse 30, turn over there, please. And the Bible says, and Philip ran. You talk about surrendered. Now, a little bit has transpired, and we're going to pop back up to those verses in just a minute. Philip ran. Can you picture that? Philip has left Samaria. Philip has left the revival. Philip has left all that's been going on there. Great things have happened. He's in the middle of nowhere. He's now seeing the Ethiopian eunuch. He knows now why he's coming. And the Bible says, and Philip ran. Not only is he surrendered, number two, a surrendered servant, but he's obedient, but he's excited about it. He's moving forward in it. He's advancing in it. He wants to get where God wants him to go. That's what I want today in my life. I want to run wherever God wants me to go. There's times when we got to wait, yes, and he had to walk, yes, but I'm saying it says right here, he ran this time. When he knew why he was there, it wasn't walking anymore, it was running. Think about that. You got to walk sometimes. We got to skip sometimes. If you're a skipper, I'm not a skipper. You got to walk sometimes. You got to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord sometimes. But if you know the will of God, I like what Philip did. He ran. Why? Because he knew the will of God. There's no putting around now. Advance fast. It's the will of God. Let's go. Let's go. God's in this. He was a surrendered servant. Then, number three, verses 27 and 28. Praise God, we see a searching sinner. A searching sinner. Verse 27, the Bible says, "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority." Wow, this is somebody. "Under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure." Wow. This was not a lowlife, okay? I don't know what a lowlife is, but he was not, you know, he was up. You know, he was up there. He was important, if you will. I think everybody's important, but obviously the Bible's giving us all these descriptions for a reason, okay? This was somebody that had authority, the Bible says, and he was a leader. But you know what? Look at it said this. The Bible said he came to Jerusalem to what? Worship. Wow. He had money. He had wealth. He had power. But he knew something was still not completely there. He came to worship. I believe he was very sincere. He came to worship God. Now he didn't know enough yet, but he was searching. He could have all the power in Candace's authority that gave him, and he could have all the money. I'm sure he was well paid, and yet he was there worshiping in Jerusalem. But even that, after he leaves Jerusalem, the Bible says that he's sitting in his beautiful chariot. And what's he doing? He's reading the Bible. He's not done yet. He's still searching. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Ethiopia was located in Africa. It's located south of Egypt. I believe this eunuch was a dedicated man. The Bible makes it clear that he had traveled. It was not a short distance to even go to Jerusalem for worship. He was there because of the Feast of Pentecost. But that in itself was not enough. That in itself did not fill the void for the eunuch. He was hungry for more. Imagine what the... Now let's pull back and let's put ourselves in the chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's got his Bible open and he's reading there from Isaiah, and he's reading, and in his mind he's thinking, I have no idea what this is talking about. It's confusing. I can't quite tell. I'm not sure. And we know that from the very text that we just read a few moments ago. And he's in the middle of Nowheresville. And all of a sudden, here comes somebody out of nowhere. Imagine the Ethiopian eunuch. Imagine the thinking and the thought process in his mind. When all of a sudden, here's somebody he's never met before. Here's somebody that just comes out of nowhere and he's running to him. Can you picture that? I find that to be a little bit funny, quite frankly. And I'm thinking in my mind in 2020 or in my mind today, if somebody that I don't know comes running at me, I'm going to turn around and run the other direction, you know, because I think they're going to do something. That's just how we think. But here's this guy in his chariot. Maybe he said, giddy up. I don't know. But no, he didn't do that. Here comes Philip out of nowhere. A miracle. A miracle in the middle of nowhere. Sovereign God. A surrendered servant of a searching sinner. You know what? I believe in 2020 there are many Ethiopian eunuchs all over the Vancouver area. They are searching. Why focus on those who seemingly portray a God-hater mentality? Why focus on that? By the way, they perceive that. They put that up front. But it really doesn't mean they all hate God. You know, that's many times that's just a distraction, and it distracts us pretty good, doesn't it? Because we seemingly don't want anything to do. And I'm not saying we don't want anything to do. I'm just saying don't focus on the God haters. Realize that even some of them don't truly hate God. But remember this. There are people today. I believe there are people today in the Vancouver area with a Bible in their homes wondering what's this all about. Where's Armageddon in here? Where's the end? Is the world going to end? You know, COVID, is it going to end? What's going on? I believe that's happening. I believe maybe they don't have a Bible in print, but they're online searching for stuff. Is this the end times? Is the world going to end in 2020? Maybe they're tuning in to Carry Radio. Maybe they're listening to the service right now. Maybe you're watching the service right now. A friend of yours puts you on this service and you're watching it. Maybe they're watching other Bible preaching churches. That's what we would want them to be watching. What I'm saying is this. There are people today sitting in their chariot wondering what God is doing. You know what they're waiting on? They're waiting on the Christian to come running to them with one of these. They're waiting for the Christian to come running to them. They're searching. And by the way, some of them are searching in the wrong places. And they're getting the information from the wrong. They're getting error. Why? They're searching and the devil's helping them search in the wrong places. They're searching. They have a void. And we have the truth. And we know where to point them to. We know who to point them to. If we would simply, like Philip, arise and go and be that surrendered servant, God will lead us to searching sinners. I guarantee you He will. Do we believe God is working, moving? And it's the desert, but I'm not going fishing in the desert, but that might be the place you get your biggest catch, in a sense. Then we see number four, praise God, praise God. There is sufficient Scripture. Sufficient Scripture. It's all sufficient. Sufficient Scripture. I love the wording. I love the wording of how God did this. Look at Acts 8:32. Notice the place of the Scripture which he read. Make note of that. The place of the Scripture which he read. He was led as a sheep. This is Isaiah 53:7-8. I'm not gonna turn there today, but maybe you want to jot that down. So he's reading Isaiah 53:7-8. The place of the Scripture. Again, emphasizing that place of the Scripture. And then you could draw an arrow down in your Bible to verse 35, and it says, and began at the what? Same Scripture. Same Scripture. So we have sufficient Scripture. In other words, Philip didn't need anything else other than where God had already brought the Ethiopian eunuch to reading the Word of God, and it was telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was telling about prophesying about what was coming, who was coming, and what he would go through. And so I love that. And what did he do? At the same Scripture, he preached. He preached unto him, Jesus. This eunuch was reading, as I said, Isaiah 53:7-8. And by the way, I kind of wonder this. I wrote this down in my notes. I still don't know what I really know for sure. We don't know. But I think possibly he was reading out loud. I think possibly he was reading out loud. I didn't write down why I think that. But anyway, maybe it'll come back to me in a minute. But I think it because it said here, And Philip ran, and he said, understandest what thou readest. Maybe as he's walking up, he's reading it out loud. It doesn't matter. Maybe he saw the Bible in his hand. The point is this, the Scripture was sufficient. You know, a few years ago, we had a theme here that God's Word changes lives. Do you believe that today? God's Word changes lives. I'm so thankful for the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed Canada. I want to remind you, we support them every month, but I want to tell you, I think that offering that they're taking is still, I think there's still time to get in on that. You can Google Bearing Precious Seed Canada. I think we posted the video at one time, and God's given them someone who's willing to match up to, what was it, $200,000, and that's again printing John and Romans to get one in every home in the country of Canada. If God were to lay it on your heart to support Bearing Precious Seed Canada, if you want to do it through Anchor Baptist, you can. If you want to do it directly, I'm just saying the Word of God is what changes lives. The Word of God is what drew this searching sinner to the Savior, and it's the Word of God that changes lives. Go with me quickly in your Bible. I know it's a verse you know, but I want you to see it with me today. Hebrews chapter number four. And again, I mentioned something earlier in the beginning of the service in the Bible lesson about how God just continues to emphasize things every week in here and there and preaching and teaching. And don't miss it. When God says something once, don't miss it. But when God repeats over and over again in our Bible reading, in our Wednesday night service and all that we're hearing, don't miss it. Look what it says in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? Heart. It's a dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and it discerns the thoughts, what the heart is thinking, the mind is thinking, and what the mind is intending to do. The Word of God is sufficient. The Word of God is what brings us faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The Word of God testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, one of the last books that Paul would write, he's writing to his son Timothy in the faith, someone who he's invested time into, and he's passing on things to Timothy. Some of you remember the verse we're going to relate to. And in chapter number 4, most people believe that Paul was in a dark, dingy, cool dungeon. And he sends word to Timothy about some things. He requested a cloak, C-L-O-A-K, cloak, something to cover up with. Because again, many believe that he was cold. He was in a dungeon and he was in prison. But in verse 13, he ends the verse with, make sure you bring parchments. The parchments. What are the parchments? That's the Bible. That's the Scripture. Some believe it could be what he was working on. Could have been something that he was writing. But I'm a firm believer that Paul is saying the Word of God is sufficient for me in my dying days. I want the Word of God in my life. Paul is saying I'm in a dungeon. I'm in prison. I'm cold. Yeah, a blanket would be nice. A coat would be nice. But what I really need in my last days, I have finished my course. Paul said that in that chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 7, verse or 4, verse 7, I believe it is. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And it goes on. But he says, I need the Word of God. It is what is sufficient. And oh, church family, today, aren't you glad that in this day we have the sufficient Scripture of the Word of God? We have everything that we need, and we can just take this book and give it to the lost and let the Word of God do its work. That's exactly what Philip did. He went to the same Scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. We have a sovereign God. We have a surrendered servant. We have a searching sinner. We have sufficient Scripture. And then number 5, we have a salvation statement. We would call it a statement. We would call it a profession of faith. But to keep in with the S's, let's call it a salvation statement. Look at verse 37. Back to Acts 8. Don't you love 8:37, my soul? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Again, this man was definitely religious. He knew it. He'd heard about baptism. How does he ask about baptism? Because he's a religious man. Folks, there's a lot of people today that know about baptism that are lost. There's a lot of people today that got sprinkled as babies. They're not on their way to heaven. I realize that's not baptism. But there might even be people today that have been baptized by immersion that are not saved. The point is that this man was definitely religious, but he was missing something. Although I believe we know he was right there, because Philip said, you can if you believe with all thine heart. And he answered and said, here's his statement of faith, his profession of faith, his salvation statement. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The salvation of this eunuch from Ethiopia would fulfill the fourth part of the Great Commission. You remember the Great Commission? You remember all the way back when we were in Acts chapter 1? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, where he left from, and then the uttermost part of the earth. I can't quite put my pinky down and not leave. That doesn't work that way. Here it is. All of this that Philip has seen. He has seen it in Jerusalem. He has seen it in Judea. He has seen it in Samaria. And now God is showing us right here in Acts 8:37 that He wants the uttermost part of the earth to be saved. Isaiah 56, I'm going to turn there quickly. Isaiah 56, you can turn there if you like, but I'm going to begin reading as soon as I get there. The gospel is for all people. I love what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 56, verse 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place, a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him and to love the name of the Lord to be His servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant. And on it goes. The gospel is a whosoever will gospel. God was concerned about the Jew, but God is also concerned about the Gentile. God wanted Jerusalem to be reached, but He also wanted the uttermost part of the world to be reached. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He got saved. Whether he got saved right then or on the journey right there with Philip, we don't know exactly when, but he made that declarative statement. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the salvation statement. And then number six, we see a submitted saint. A submitted saint. What do you mean, Pastor Turner? Look what this new Christian does. He obeys the Lord. Verse 38. And they went down, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. I believe that was the eunuch. That was his chariot. I don't think Philip would have been saying, stop, chariot. I think that was the eunuch. Hold up. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Obedience is always an indicator that we know the Lord is our Savior. Obedience is the very best way to show that you what? Believe. Here we see a saint who was submitted to be obedient to the Lord. I want to encourage you as we come to the end of this chapter. I want to encourage you. What is there in your life that you have yet to submit to the Lord? Maybe you've been saved, but you've never been scripturally baptized. That is the very first step for a believer to be obedient and identify with the Lord in His death, burial, and resurrection. We can still baptize even in these days when we have had baptisms in 2020. What an exciting time it's been for each and every one of those. I don't know how many, but all of them. Very important to the Lord. The point is this. We as God's children, when we have the Holy Spirit of God in us and we claim to be Christians, we need to be submitted to the Word of God. We need to be submitted to what God wants us to do with our lives, where God wants us to go. This is not a place where you would think God would take His evangelist, big city, capital, to the desert. An unlikely place. In fact, it was probably a challenging command. It was confusing, maybe. It might have even tested his faith. I don't know. From all intensive purposes, it would seem that Philip just, boom, he's gone. Whatever, God, you have for me. It's a miraculous event. You know, today, we have the ingredients that are needed for a miracle. Philip has nothing on me and on you in 2020. Here's the ingredients. Number one, the Word of God. We have to have the Word of God. And by the way, we have it right here. The Word of God. They have a miracle, got to have the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. The angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, go to the desert. When he went to the desert, the Word of God was there. Thirdly, to have a miracle, and I'm not saying this in the sense of male, but I'm saying this in the sense of mankind, you've got to have a man of God. You've got to have men of God, men and women of God. Change it, say it however you want to say it. I'm just saying that we've got the ingredients. Hey, There's no desert experience without the Word of God. There's no desert experience without the Spirit of God, the angel of the Lord. There's no desert experience and miracle without Philip and then the Son of God. The Son of God. We have the same things that Philip had in 2020, that all it takes is for us to do our part, which means to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. The most likely, unlikely place to go fishing, the desert. But God saw Ethiopia. God saw the African continent. God saw more than one man under Candace. He saw a lot more than that. And as God is working together things in your life, my life, it's not just about 2020. It's not just about December. It's about somewhere, sometime. I have no idea. I know He's good. And I know there is fruit to be claimed. There's a fish out there. There's a soul out there. There's someone out there. God's leading you to, me to. Gotta be sensitive. Gotta die to self. Gotta say no to the things of the world. Gotta put inside this mind things that honor the book and honor the Lord. Flush out all that other stuff. Be listening and ready, okay? God, where today? Who is it today? See, problem is many times in my life, I don't think God can do that like He did to Philip. You see, that's doubt. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I don't read these stories in the Bible and think, wow, that was, what I do read is, wow, that was really neat for Philip. Wait a minute. It's not just about letting us know about this. You got to take the Bible personally for 2020, for your life, for our life. God's still doing this. God's still doing miracles. I have talked to Christians for the last 20 years of pastoring, gone to mission fields all over the place. You would not believe the stories that people have told me that when God brought me to this place, this happened, and then all this happened. But it was one little thing that seemed so insignificant. But the paths crossed at just the right time. Someone was searching. God brought the missionary. The missionary had to say yes. He had to arise and go. It's not just about the missionaries. Way out somewhere, God bless them, and we need to be praying for them. It's about you and me today, right here where we live. Don't be discouraged about fishing in the desert. There's some great work to do.